This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94. Is there a dot in there?
Yes, just point.
94.9. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, stuntman, actor, director, lover, friend, confidant, shoulder to cry on. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Who is this?
Who are you trying to reach?
What number is this?
What number are you trying to reach?
I don't know.
Well, I think you have the wrong number.
Do I?
It happens. Take it easy. Hello?
I'm sorry, I guess I dialed the wrong number.
Well, so why'd you dial it again?
To apologize.
You're forgiven. Bye now.
Wait, don't hang up.
What?
I want to talk to you for a second.
They've got 900 numbers for that. See ya. Hello?
Why don't you want to talk to me?
Who is this?
You tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You making popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I only eat popcorn at the movies.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Halloween. You know, the one with the guy in the white mask who walks around and stalks babysitters?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Guess.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is that the one where the guy had knives for fingers?
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
Freddy, that's right. I like that movie. It was scary.
Well, the first one was, but the rest sucked.
So, you got a boyfriend?
Why, you want to ask me out on a date?
Maybe. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
What did you say?
I want to know who I'm talking to.
That's not what you said.
What do you think I said? What? Hello?
Look, I gotta go.
Wait, I thought we were gonna go out.
Nah, I don't think so.
Don't hang up on me.
Shit. Yes?
I told you not to hang up on me.
What do you want?
Talk.
Well, dial someone else, okay? Listen, asshole!
No, you listen, you little bitch! You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand? Yeah.
So, everyone, if you're listening, if you thought your job was hard, think again. Because Roger Jackson's going to set the record straight for us here on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You have got the magic touch with that voice.
Well, thank you very much. Which one?
Well, probably the one that everyone goes on about. Of course, Ghostface. Yeah, well, the Scream franchise, that voice.
Yes.
Particular. That's what I'm hearing when I'm out there waiting. I'd come in and go, he's here, should I have brought my mask? No, if we use audio, but anyway. is this your first...
I don't know, has the Powerpuff Girls broken here?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay. I found that in a lot of the cons, it's the two characters, Ghostface and Mojo, that people are there to see, and people are fascinated by Ghostface, but people really love Mojo Jojo.
The 90s was such a great time. probably for,
I guess,
comics, cartoons, and of course, because of course, Scream was around.
Yeah.
Changed everything.
Yes, it was a game changer for films. Yeah. It was really a marvelous film.
Now, let's talk about yourself, your career, of course. It's pretty expansive, like you said. You've put me straight because there's all these other voices. But if you could pick, is there one that, you know, that would be a favourite that you've done? What would you still say?
Well, my favourite is the next one. That's the next one. Because I just like working. If you like playing football, you like to get out and play football. If you like acting, you want to act. You want to do your work. And there are certain characters like it's interesting with both Ghostface and Mojo.
Mm.
I like it because I can forget it's me. I can just enjoy the show. But a lot of times I'll hear some recording of myself and I critique it too much. But those are a lot of fun because, as I say, I can just get into the show. But I've enjoyed so many. I'm glad to be down here in Australia and New Zealand because I have we're talking from Australia now, but we'll be heading to New Zealand. I've been a lot of things on the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings video games.
I double for Sir Christopher Lee.
Yes.
Saddleman.
So it's nice to be in the area where these things came out of.
Yeah, and also the fandom, and I guess you get to see the responses. Are you at all surprised at the wonderful response you get?
Yes, it's overwhelming. It's one of the things I like about coming to conventions like the one here is not only do I get to see and meet other actors whose work I've admired throughout my life, but then people will come to my table and it's incredible how much they like what you've done, what I've done. And you don't get to hear that because on the stage, you're there with the audience. You know what they think.
Yeah.
In film or in television, any recorded media, the only audience is whoever is in the booth or behind the camera or whatever. So when the audience comes to meet you and tells you they like your work, that really feeds your soul.
And for voice act, I mean, I've interviewed a few in the past, including on the phone line, which was really fascinating to talk to someone that way. But for voice acts, like you were saying, off air as such, you have to take the work everywhere with you. It is very demanding. It's highly competitive, I should imagine.
Yes.
Is that hard on yourself? Why would you do that? Why would you put yourself in it? It's so competitive.
Everybody has to compete in their work in some way. Actually, within the fraternity or the group of voice actors, they're pretty generous people. They tend not to be. Everybody knows that somebody's going to get the job, and if it's not you, then hopefully it's somebody you know.
Exactly.
Somebody you like.
Cool.
And as I said, you have to audition a lot in order to get work. But that's just part of it.
And for a person that is looking at doing voice acting, that type of thing, do you have any... What do you think is a successful or a suggestion you can make to help them start out? Or
study acting. Get good training. I trained on the stage and... That's really the best place to learn.
Right. Is that because of voice you have to, you know, express yourself quite...
Because you're working with other good people, hopefully, and you get your response right there from the audience. Yeah. You know what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
You learn from them. They teach you. Because in any performing art, it's not just the performers, but the audience are part of it, too. That's the meaning of the word audience, the ones who listen. So there's no performance without the audience.
exactly. Excellent. Now, looking at, of course, screen films, do you recall how you got that gig?
Oh, very well. I auditioned for it, along with a lot of other people.
Yeah.
They were filming in Santa Rosa, which is just north of San Francisco. And that's where Alfred Hitchcock filmed Shadow of a Doubt in the 40s. Okay. And it's a very nice, typical American middle-class town.
Mm.
And they were coming to film the first scene, which you're familiar with the film.
Yes, yes.
I guess for those who are, it's the scene with Drew Barrymore, which starts the whole ball rolling.
It is probably one of my favorite horror film scenes. I mean, I've got some Hitchcock favorites. Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Thank you.
Popping corn.
Thank you.
Popping corn will never be the same.
Really? I only make popcorn when I'm going to watch a movie.
Oh, my
What's
God.
Your favorite movie? Hey, Sonia.
Yeah, I'm actually getting a little nervous now.
So they were coming to film the scene, and rather than just playing the scene to the air, that is, having their lines fed to her by, say, the script person, Drew Barrymore wanted to have an actor to play the scene with. So they decided to cast in the Bay Area, which is basically just down the road, for an actor who would play the scene with her. And then they would dub it later in Los Angeles with whoever they chose to do the final voice. So they auditioned, and I got the part. And one chilly, rainy night, we filmed. I was in a little lean-to outside the window from where Ms. Barrymore was, on a microphone and a cell phone, watching her through the window.
Oh, my God.
Playing the scene with her through the cell phone to her, and they were recording it at the same time. And ever since then, I'm always on the set with the actors playing it live. They don't know what I look like or where I am.
That's creepy.
But it's always live. We don't dub it later.
Right.
So I played the scene with her. My job is to scare the hell out of her, which I tried very much to do. But it is really, like right from the audition, you can tell from reading the incredible scene, the script by Kevin Williamson. It's a game of cat and mouse. You can't just start off Mr. Scary. You've got to be interesting. Mm. Someone she wants to talk to. Someone she wants to play with on the phone, as it were. And then once the cat has drawn the mouse in, boom.
Yes.
Down comes the paw. So that was the essence of the scene.
Mm.
And while we were filming, apparently Wes Craven and Marianne Magdalena, the producer, decided they liked what I was doing, so they would keep me as the voice instead of dubbing it later.
Amazing.
Man.
Was that lucky or, well, they would have had good taste. They obviously
knew what they wanted. The best definition I've ever heard of luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah.
So I like to think of it like that.
Yeah.
But I was and am very lucky indeed.
It is. I watched the films again recently because, you know, of the developments to turn it into the TV series, of course, it's coming up. And I just went, yeah, that's just amazing. It scares me. It still scares me. And nothing really... I go to horror movies like The Conjuring and Paranormal Activity, and I sit there and go, yep.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I'm usually laughing. Yeah.
No, it's very well made, beautifully made, The Conjuring. Don't get me wrong, I love James Wan's stuff. It's beautifully made, but it didn't actually scare me. But when I see something like Scream, the first one, especially in that scene, you really get the sense of desperation, a flirty game that's going to go badly. You sense it, but you just don't know how it's going to happen, really.
Yes.
And then you still think, God, that's not right. But she kind of, and this is wrong, she kind of did it wrong. She kind of shouldn't. She's still flirting. Even you still even get that sense that there's still that relationship, and it shouldn't happen like that.
Well, that's part
that's
of
what I liked about that.
That's part of the whole game that
the
they
game,
talk
like
about
you say.
In the first movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Sydney, Neve Campbell even says, "I don't like horror movies. They're stupid. The girl always runs upstairs when she ought to run out of the house."
Yeah, yeah.
And
don't go to the basement.
And
don't
in
go
her
to the
scene
yeah.
where she gets attacked the first time. she runs up the stairs instead of running out of the house.
Yeah,
so, cool. So they take all the cliches in that movie and play with them or turn them on their head. And they give you plenty. There's a lot of comedy in it that really works. The great Jamie Kennedy is hilarious.
Yes.
I love that. Did they put the liver in the mailbox? I heard they put the liver in the mailbox.
Doing the Jerry Lewis. He's funny. Yeah.
No, they're brilliant. I mean, it's a brilliant thing. I think it probably will go down as the one of the best ones, American films. One would hope horror films. But do you have any involvement with the TV series? Will you be? Do you know?
I haven't heard anything yet. Mm-hmm. No, as far as I know, it's still in development.
Yeah.
So they're...
Be interesting to see how they do it.
It certainly will.
Mm. And video games, because I don't know much about your side of that kind of thing. Do you do much voiceover work?
Oh, that's a large part of my work.
It would be now, wouldn't it?
People are surprised to find out that I'm in Mass Effect.
Oh.
Final Fantasy. I'm on a lot of the Star Wars games. I was in some of the Star Trek games. I'm in Dead Space.
Right. Ooh.
Doing a lot of horror and sci-fi games.
Ooh.
And as I said before, I'm on a lot of the Lord of the Rings games and the Hobbit game.
Mm.
I don't know if... Are you a gamer?
I'm not, but my co-host is. So, yeah, if he was here, he'd probably be rolling on the ground.
For anybody who has the new PS4, if you got a PlayStation 4, you get a free game with it.
Yep.
Which has a little kind of jelly-like alien toy inside.
Oh, yes.
He's in the game, this character.
Yeah.
That's me.
My God. Someone's possessed. Wow.
So
that's you. So you are everywhere. If there's sound and it has to happen, if it's games or any of the pop culture stuff, we'll probably hear you.
I sure hope so.
And you're working all the time, so that's brilliant. Any chance of retirement? Any chance of taking a time off? Or
No.
As long as you've got this. And how do you take care of it? Just quickly, because what's the best way to take care of the voice?
Well, I don't smoke.
Yeah, that's good.
Live healthy, believe in good over evil, and eat well, get plenty of rest, and listen to your mom and your dad. Maybe that'll work. I hope so.
Okay, there you've got it. That's the advice. It's the golden rule of the golden voice. And the man with the golden tonsils is Roger Jackson. Thank you so much for speaking to us on Sci-Fi Suite.
Thank you, son. Thank
Brilliant.
You for having me on.
Lovely.
Hello. Who is this? Is that you? If you're listening to me, you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Yeah.
I can give you a Mojo one if you want.
Mojo would be cool. Mojo, yeah.
Hello, people of Australia. If you are hearing my voice, then you know it is me. Mojo Jojo, and you are hearing my voice through your ears by the means of airwaves being vibrated with sounds coming from your radio from Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. I have taken over the station, and soon I will take over your country, another world, or as soon as I have a healthy breakfast.
That's great. Thank you so much.
My name's Lawrence R. Harvey, and I play Martin in the Human Centipede 2 full sequence. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.